Fred Film Radio.
Fred Film Radio, this is Francesca Raffi. Today we are going to talk about one of the main international events on audiovisual translation and media accessibility, Media for All. The 10th edition of Media for All takes place from the 5th to the 7th of July 2023 in Antwerp in Belgium. Fred Film Radio is media partner of the event. So to know more about audiovisual translation and media accessibility beyond, let's say, the traditional boundaries, let's welcome Jos Morkens, Associate Professor at the School of Applied Language and International Studies in Dublin City University and keynote speaker at Media for All 2023. Hi, Jos. Thank you for joining us on FRED.
Thanks very much for having me.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to have you here with us, Jos. You are one of the main experts in the field of translation technology. So my first question is, how is technology shaping or reshaping the field of audiovisual translation and media accessibility, in your opinion?
So I suppose the real change came from 2016 when we started using neural machine translation rather than the previous statistical paradigm. And there was a leap forward in quality, but it works very well in some circumstances for some language pairs and not so well for others. So there was an assumption from probably helped by a lot of the hype around the time neural machine translation was first introduced, an assumption that perhaps quality levels would be better for all circumstances, for all domains, for all language pairs, which really isn't the case. So slowly over time, we've developed the rule of thumb that the level of automation should be roughly, it should be appropriate for the value of the text, the risk of the text, and the shelf life of the text. Mm-hmm. So for audiovisual translation, sometimes the same subtitles will be used for a long time. There's no real risk of injury or death, but there is a risk of mistranslation and mm-hmm. miscomprehension. So we're starting to figure out what the problems are with the introduction of machine translation to do with how the subtitles or it's used increasingly for dubbing, how the dub is received. But also to do with the workflows. Increasingly we're finding that, I think Yota Georgakopoulou talked about the predictions of massive growth in the subscription video on demand or over the top industry was related to near live turnaround times. And there's been a real focus on trying to focus on speed for subtitling and to a lesser extent for dubbing at a cost to quality and at a cost to the quality of working life, I would argue, for some translators. So there's a place for it, and certainly I wouldn't argue for no use of technology. Mm-hmm. It's a highly technologized industry, but there are limits to where it should be used, I would argue.
Mm-mm-mm. And your keynote at Media for All 2023 focuses on the increasing automation of audiovisual translation and the so-called human factors. Can you tell us more about the impact of automation in the field of audiovisual translation from the point of view of both professional translators and viewers?
Yeah, certainly. So from the point of view of professional translators, as I mentioned, this speed up in turnaround times. And what's that led to? That's led to is a situation whereby programming is broken down into chunks. So decomposed into chunks. These chunks are sent, with machine translated subtitles to be post edited very quickly, within often 2 or 4 hours, by audiovisual translators. And then these chunks are recombined by a project manager, and then this is sent on. So that would be the case, for example, with a lot of Korean premium level programming, which, so this is how the English version is made, and then that's the pivot to all others. And it's a real focus on speed and on lowering cost. But the difficulty is that what motivates us in our work is not just producing anything. We want to feel like we're, contributing to a greater whole, that there's self-efficacy, that we're learning in our work, that our work has meaning. And when the work is broken down into chunks, there isn't really that sense of meaning. Mm-mm. So if we look at the motivation hygiene theory to do with work motivation, where there's things that demotivate us, like by not getting enough pay or by not getting holidays, but the things that positively motivate us come from, they're intrinsic factors that come from inside us. And I would argue that it's difficult to get that sort of sense of motivation from decomposed sections of work. But of course, having poor pay and having rates that are cut due to the addition of machine translation, well, that's demotivating. So my argument is that I would link this to the so-called talent crunch in audiovisual translation, because translators are smart, talented people, and if they can't do this and gain enough money and a sense of worth from it, then they'll go and do something else. One of my PhD students who graduated about a year and a half ago, Wichaya Pichamuk, studied a group of 12 audiovisual translators in Thailand working on mostly on Korean to English translation, oddly enough. And this is what she found, that conditions were such that some of them just decided, to go and do something else. They were unhappy with these changes. So the best practice in introducing technology is really to bring people along with you, to not just impose it, but rather to bring it in a discursive way, have the translators involved in how it might be introduced. So that's one part. The other part then is reception. And it's been discovered for some time by studies like by my colleague Sharon O'Brien in Dublin, that it's possible to create reasonably good quality translations using post-editing of machine translation. But one thing that our recent study done with myself, Anna Gerberoff Aranas in Groningen, and David Orego Carmona based in Warwick in the UK, we did a study comparing the human translation, machine translation, and post-edited translation of a Mexican telenovela. Mm-hmm. And to look at how it was received by viewers, comparing enjoyment, comprehension, and narrative engagement. And we found that the viewers were just as engaged and enjoyed just as much the post-edited version as the human translated version. The machine translation, that rated far more poorly. Mm-mm. But then when we look more closely into our... that the post-edited version had been very heavily post-edited. So they had post-edited upward of 40% of the text. So what that means is that it's possible to create a comprehensible and enjoyable post-edited set of subtitles, but it requires time and effort and a lot of, skill on the part of the audiovisual translators. And in the sort of work processes that I'm talking about, where work is decomposed, there's a very tight deadline, there just isn't the possibility for the translators to create quality. So there's more that we need to do in this area. There's more we need to investigate. There's ongoing research, the quality of working life. There's a study I'm involved with Akiko Sakamoto, for example, in Kansai University in Japan, trying to create a replicable method that we can use over time to create a sort of longitudinal view of the quality of working life. But in the context of the recent use of ChatGPT and other types of generative tools, it's really brought into stark relief the fact that these sort of changes are liable to happen to lots of different professions aside from translation. Translation has experienced this since 2016, but now it's going to be far more broad. And, you know, we really need to have a more holistic way of looking at the quality of technology and how it's introduced,
and
what
Jos,
effects this might have.
And Jos, I guess you are mainly referring to interlingual subtitles, so from a given language into another. What about technology, machine translation, post-editing, and subtitles for the deaf and hard of hearing?
It's not something that we've investigated really that much. Mm-hmm. I think the same rules really would apply. I mean, the differences are that the subtitles will be more likely to be verbatim, but increasingly subtitles are getting longer and more comprehensive anyway. There's a trend towards having more titles rather than fewer. And that's something that the likes of Carol O'Sullivan from Bristol mm-hmm. has found over time. So it's just a case of, you know, introducing the color coding for those. But I would think that the same things apply. I haven't, while I've heard of the use of machine translation in the last couple of years for dubbing, mm-hmm. I haven't heard of it being used for audio description, where the, you know, it's very important to have an engaging tone, and perhaps that, you know, that involves a huge, you know, more human input.
Yeah, of course.
But media accessibility is an area where, you know, we really need to investigate more how technology is introduced and imposed.
So lots of food for thought, Jos. Thanks again for being with us on FRED.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me, Francesca.
Thank you. Thank you very much. To all our listeners, as you know, FredFin Radio is media partner of Media for All 2023. So don't miss our next interviews. This is Francesca Raffi for FredFin Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.